to the Lord in this house. And I like it. I like it. I like to feel like I feel when I feel like I'm feeling right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a good feeling to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I wonder tonight if we could fill up a week of fasting. Amen. I think it'd be good, Brother Treadwell's going to be here Sunday, and then again the next Wednesday night, which will be November the 2nd. But I would like for us to just fill some days of fasting. Anybody fast tomorrow? There's one. Somebody on Tuesday? We get a Tuesday faster. There's one. How about a Wednesday? Anybody can do Wednesday? There's one and two. How about Thursday? All right. How about Friday? Okay. Brother Landon, I need somebody else as well. Amen. How about Saturday? Amen. All right. Good. Thank you very much. Brother Anthony Mangan had called their church to fast. And he had told the school children that if they could just fast one meal, that would probably be enough. Didn't want to make it too hard on the kids. Until somebody told him that on the days of Ramadan, that all the Muslim children fasted all day from 12 hours, sun up to sundown. And he decided, you know what? If a Muslim kid can do it, a Pentecostal kid can do it. I said, if a Muslim kid can do it for Allah, an apostolic ought to be able to do it for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, Brother Grissom, fasting's hard on me. It's supposed to be. That's the whole idea. It's to say no to this stinking flesh right here. Amen. That's the whole purpose of fasting. Amen. It's just to simply say no. Amen. And help us to get our appetites under control. All right. So thank you very much. Amen. Let's pray and look forward to a great weekend of revival. And I think it ought to start right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we have a revival without an evangelist? If we don't, we're in pretty poor shape. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just all the evangelist needs, he just needs to get in on it when he comes. Praise the Lord. We need to have it going already. And keep it going. And I believe that we do. Amen. All right, we're turning tonight, actually in the book of Acts, of all places. Let me say thank you for being here. It's sure good to see everybody. I appreciate you coming tonight. The first chapter of the book of Acts, Los Hechos de los Apóstoles, capítulo 1 y versículo 8. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Amen. La Biblia dice, the word of the Lord says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. My subject tonight is simply this. Our revival is only limited by our vision. Our revival is only limited by our vision. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The vision of the local church is vital to the kingdom of God. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is vision, people with vision rescue the perishing. Amen. When we have vision tonight, when we can see things that we cannot see with our eyes. Amen. And there is a realm, the spiritual realm, that is more real than the physical realm. And with eyes of faith, we can look into that realm tonight and we can see marvelous things that God can do. You remember the Lord's Prayer. How did that go? Our Father, help me tonight. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, how do we know what's going on in heaven? How do we know what the will of God is? How do we find the will of God? We find the will of God in prayer. God reveals His will to praying people. People that humble themselves and seek the face of God, hear the voice of God, and understand the will of God. And so that's how heaven gets to earth. That's how the will of God gets done on the earth, is because people that are praying get a vision of what God wants to do and what God wants to see, and it's brought to fruition on the earth by people with a vision. Amen. Is that true tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a time that we were preaching in a place and it wasn't very full. Amen. Matter of fact, on Sundays we usually had about 16. And then on Wednesdays we had about, 16. Then on Sunday night the crowd would swell to 16. Amen. And they were a sweet 16. Amen. But you know, after a while you get a little weary preaching to 16. When there's a whole lot of pews and a lot of space and a parking lot that needed to be filled up. Amen. And so we started preaching with our eyes closed. With my eyes open, I could see 16. But with my eyes closed, I could see front to back and wall to wall and parking lot overflowing and a building program going on. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to catch a vision tonight. You've got to see beyond what is and see what can be and see what God wants to do. Yeah, amen. And you know what? Over a period of time, that all came to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, if you only see what is, you can get discouraged. Yeah. Amen. Your faith goes up and down like a roller coaster if you only see what is. But when you get a vision of what God wants to do and what God is going to do, and when you get a hold of that vision and you buy into that vision and you plan to make that vision a reality, then things begin to change. Amen. Praise God. Somebody says, you know how to make a small church a big church? You act like a big church. Amen. It bothers me sometimes when people just say, oh, we're just a little church. Amen. Well, you got to have a vision of a big church. Some people don't want to get big. They're comfortable being little. The problem with that is we have a mission. Amen. The problem with that is our Lord said to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. We are supposed to be reaching out to others and not be content with just four and no more. Amen. We've got to have a vision tonight that is greater than what we see just in the present tense. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus was addressing a group of people here in Acts chapter 1. There were about 500 of them. It was after His resurrection and immediately before His ascension. And as He spoke to them, He tried His very best to impart to them His vision. He wanted that group of Jews, singular Jews, a local group of people, but He wanted to give them a global vision. He wanted them to be able to see beyond what is right now into what He was going to bring into fruition. He said, I want you to look for bigger things. I want you to look for better things. Amen. If somebody really has a vision, you can tell it if you're around them very long by the way they talk. Because they talk about their vision. And they talk about what God is doing. And they talk about what God is going to do. And they talk about bigger things. And they talk about better things. Because they have a vision of a greater thing than what is in the moment and in this very small sphere of time. Amen. God wants the church to get bigger. He wants the church to talk bigger. He wants the church to act bigger. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've heard the old saying, fake it till you make it. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in doing anything fake. Amen. I think we need to be real. Praise God. But you can be real in the way you do things. Amen. And you don't have to do things in a small way. Amen. Just plan for big things. Look for big things. Believe big things. Expect great things. Amen. D.L. Moody said that if you're working for God, he said, make big plans. Hallelujah. I said, if you're working for God, make big plans. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be silly to be working for God and make small plans? Amen. That might say something about our faith in God. If you're working for the kind of God that I'm serving, you need to make some big plans. Because we serve a big God. We serve a mighty God. We serve an all-powerful God. And He can do all things. He wants us to have a vision tonight. He wants us to see things and expect things and plan things and work for things. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord says to this small group of Jerusalemites and Jews from around the area, He says to them, He said, you're going to receive something. He said, and ye shall receive power. Anybody here receive some power? Anybody here got the Holy Ghost tonight? Have you forgotten what you received? Do you still believe that it's powerful? Do you still believe that it heals? Do you still believe that it delivers? Do you still believe that it saves? Do you still believe that God can do anything? Amen. We need to stir up that gift tonight that is in us and understand we serve a big God and we need to have a big vision and we need to do great things because we have a great God. Anybody believe tonight that there's a great need in the world? Amen. Anybody believe that people are still lost that don't know Jesus Christ? Anybody still believe that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life? Amen. We have a big responsibility. We have a big job to do tonight. And we need to get a great vision of what God wants to do. Amen. Jesus said to that group of people, He said, you're going to receive power. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you've got all the power that you'll ever need. The Apostle Paul said it when he said, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. What did he say? According to the power that worketh in us.
You've already got what it takes tonight. You just have to stir it up. It's not up in heaven. It's already here. It's inside of us tonight. The Bible said, for the kingdom of God is within you. Where is the great church of Athens? It's inside of you. Where is the 500 soul revival? It's inside of you. Where is a 1,000 soul revival? It's inside of you. Where is a nationwide revival? It's inside of you. Where is a global revival? It's on the inside of you. For the kingdom of heaven is within us.
Yes, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, all we've got to do is pray until we agree with God. God already has big plans. I said, God already has big plans. He has big plans for your life. And we've got to get our eyes on Him and get our vision in line with His vision, because God wants to do great things through every one of us. Amen. I said, God wants to use every one of us. Revival doesn't come just through the pastor. Revival doesn't come just through the evangelist. Revival comes through every one of us. Do shepherds bear sheep? No. Sheep bear sheep. Amen. We need to have a vision tonight. We need to get our eyes open tonight and see what God wants to do through us. The Scripture says here, Jesus speaking, He said, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And He said, and you're going to be witnesses unto Me. It's a very interesting word. The word witness, the Greek word means martyr. If it were translated literally, it would say, you're going to be martyrs unto Me. You know what a martyr is? A martyr is someone who dies for a cause. They die if they believe in something so strongly. They're sold out so much to their cause that they're willing to lay down their life for that. Jesus said, you're going to be martyrs unto Me. You know how to have a revival? You get an army of walking dead people. Amen. We're dead to sin. We're dead to self. We're dead to carnality. We're dead to the world. We're alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how you have a revival. You don't worry about what people think. You don't worry about what people say. You don't worry about what people are going to do. Dead people never do. Dead people don't care what you say about them. Dead people don't care what you do to them. Amen. Because they're dead. Amen. The reason sometimes we're hindered in our revival and in our vision is because we're too much alive. Amen. We're intimidated by what people say, and we're intimidated what people think, and we're intimidated what we think people think. And they may not be thinking that at all. Amen. You see, the Jews were convinced they knew what the people were thinking. They said, well, said they're we're grasshoppers in their sight. Amen. They think we're grasshoppers, and we know we're grasshoppers. And so they didn't do the great thing that God had called them to do. But you read over in the book of Joshua, that wasn't what the people were thinking at all. The Bible said that they were terrified because they knew what the Jews' God had already done to others. They said, we heard about how He brought you out of Egypt. We heard about what He did to those nations. We heard about what He did to other people that got in your way. And He said, we were scared to death that you were coming here. The battle was already won. The ground was already prepared. But they got to thinking with stinking thinking. They were intimidated when God had already given them an atmosphere of victory and revival. Amen. We've got to get beyond some things here. That's why we pray. Amen.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I know that it's your will to populate heaven more than to populate hell. I know it's your will that not any be lost, but that all should come to repentance. It's your will tonight that every soul should hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. That everybody ought to have an opportunity, amen, to hear the gospel, amen, and respond. Everybody needs somebody to love them. Everybody needs somebody to pray for them. Everybody needs an apostolic church that cares. Yeah, amen. That's where vision is born, in that kind of prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, He said, I want you to be witnesses. I want you to be martyrs for me. He said, first of all, in Jerusalem. He said, I want you to start right here at home. Amen. I know people that want to be missionaries, but they won't win souls at home. Well, I want to do great things for God. I want to be a great evangelist for God, but you won't do anything at home. I want to be a missionary, but I won't teach a Sunday school class. I want to be a missionary, but I won't run a bus route. I want to be a missionary, but I'm scared to speak to my friends and my family members about Jesus Christ. Hey, you got to start at home. You need to start with your neighborhood. You need to start in your school. You need to start on your job. You need to start in your family. You need to start near. He said, first of all, He said, I want you to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And you know what? They did that. Hallelujah. There was 100 and, what was it, about 120 that got the Holy Ghost right there in the day of Pentecost. And they got out to doing what He said. A bunch of dead people got out in the streets and started witnessing. Hallelujah. And it wasn't very long before 3,000 more were born. And a couple of chapters later, 5,000 more were added. And then it says, and they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. How many of you believe tonight that everybody in Athens has heard the gospel? How many of you believe tonight that everybody in Athens knows about the Holy Ghost? That everybody in the city knows where this church is and what we believe and stand for? Well, if we believe tonight that there are some that have not heard, we still have a job to do. Amen. We still have a mission to accomplish. Amen. So Jesus said, I want you to start in Jerusalem. And then He said, I want you to go to Judea. Well, you know what? They were having revival in Jerusalem and they liked it so much they didn't want to go anywhere else. Woo! We're having such a good time right here in Jerusalem. Let's just stay right here and build a big church. And so they didn't want to go anywhere. So you know what the Lord did? He said, I told you to go somewhere else. So He sent persecution into Jerusalem. And all of a sudden they said, well, I believe I'll leave. And so they started going home. And they started taking revival back to Judea then. Their region. They got out statewide. Amen. And started taking the gospel to Judea. Amen. And then one got so wild in the Holy Ghost, he said, I think I'll go over to Samaria. You see, he was stepping outside his ethnicity, outside of his race. Oh, Brother Grissom, let's don't go there. We'll send missionaries to other nations to win them over there, but don't bring them in here. What? Huh? Well, their culture's different. And they don't speak our language. And they don't do things like we do things. But they're created by the same God. They have the same soul. Jesus paid the same price to save them. Are you saying to me that it's okay to save them over there, but it's not okay to save them here? Are you saying to me that you'll worship, you don't want to worship with them here, but you think you're going to worship with them in heaven? Well, it's quiet in here. Thank God there's some smiles. Amen. We need to get colorblind, folks. So we need to get colorblind. We need to not care about what color anybody is. We don't need to worry about their broken English, whether they speak English at all or not. Amen. If we can just get them into the presence of the Lord, it's amazing what God can do. Amen. People don't even have to understand everything you're saying. They'll feel the Holy Ghost if you can just get them here. Amen. I said they'll feel the Holy Ghost. His presence will come down. Amen. And when they get the Holy Ghost, it's not going to matter because they're going to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives them the utterance. So Jesus said, you're not only going to win your city and your region, He said, but you're going to step out of your culture. You're going to get out of your environment. You're going to get out of your race. You're going to get out of your ethnicity. You're going to start reaching other people. Well, Philip got so wild in the Holy Ghost, he went over to Samaria and started preaching. And guess what? People started getting healed. They were baptized in Jesus' name. There was great joy in the city, but nobody got the Holy Ghost yet because the man that had the keys hadn't come over. And finally, Peter came and John came. And the Bible said when they laid their hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And they had a Holy Ghost revival in Samaria. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you're willing to go, God will go with you. If you're willing to go, God will go with you. Amen. So they had revival in Samaria. And then he said, it's not going to stop there. It's going to go to the uttermost part of the earth. Now what they really heard when Jesus said that, they really heard this, that you're going to reach Jews everywhere there's Jews. That's what they really heard. Because in their wildest imagination, they could never conceive that God would want to save Gentiles. I mean, that didn't even really enter their consciousness. They heard the uttermost part of the world, but what they thought he meant was Jews in the uttermost part of the earth. Everywhere there's Jews, you're going to have revival. That wasn't what he meant. There was a group of people got so wild one time, they went to a place called Antioch, and they started preaching to Gentiles on purpose. And guess what? They started getting the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a group, one time they got with a group of Romanians or gypsies and they started preaching the gospel. And guess what? They started getting the Holy Ghost. And wherever you go, folks can get the Holy Ghost if you'll just tell them about it. Amen. One of the strangest things perhaps, can you believe that people from the circus can get the Holy Ghost? Huh. Oh no, that's really far out there, Brother Christian. But that's what happened. With my own eyes, I saw them. Last time I knew, more than 200 of that family had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Large extended family. And guess what? They quit the circus after generations and started preaching the gospel. You can tell who they are at the conference because other ones are doing backflips and doing stuff that nobody else can do. It gives new meaning to swing off the chandeliers. Because they kind of kept their culture. They're going to do everything but sit quietly by while the preacher preaches. They get excited and they show it. You see, that's what we have to be open to. When you open up the church for a genuine revival, you never know what you're going to get. You're going to get screamers, and you're going to get runners, and you're going to get jumpers, and it's going to disturb the sleepers. Amen. It's going to get lively, It's going to get wild. It's going to look like it's out of control, but it's not. You're going to get people that have never been in church in their entire life, and they don't know how to act in church. They haven't learned how to be dead yet. They don't know. They don't know that as you get older, you're supposed to get colder. They don't know that. Don't teach them. Don't teach them that. Amen. Praise God. But get excited with them. I'll encourage them. Praise the Lord. Teach them how to do it. I've watched it, friend. I've watched people come to church for the first time and they'll be sitting there and they're scared to death because they've never seen anything like it. And the next thing you know, they're kind of clapping their hands too. How do you do this? This is how you do it here. And they'll get to clapping their hands. Amen. And they'll watch you and you close your eyes and they'll look around and they'll close their eyes. And then you raise your hands and after a while they'll get their hands up. Amen. I don't know what this is all about, but this is how you do it here. Amen. Praise God. And they don't want to be left out. Amen. You start talking in tongues, who knows what's going to happen. Amen. It's all right. Amen. Got to have a vision. Jesus said you're going to go to the uttermost part of the earth. They didn't believe that, but they did. Amen. And once they finally got into full swing, you talk about a revival. My, what a revival. Hallelujah. You see, our revival is only limited by our vision. What can you see tonight? Amen. Do you see what we have? Or do you see what we can have? Do you see every pew filled? Do you see chairs in the aisle and people standing in the back? Amen. Praise God. Do you see having simultaneous services? We can't get everybody in here at one time, so we'll have to have two or three services a day. Amen. And you don't get to come to every service because you've already got yours. And you got to make room for somebody else. Amen. Praise God. Can you see another auditorium over here to the other side? Amen. In an expansion program that'll seat 300 and 450 and 600. And the Lord knows after that. Can you see that tonight? Is that a part of your vision? Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you see groups of men going to other countries and helping to build buildings for cities and for people that cannot have a church of their own, but we'll go down there and build it for them or help them build it? Can you see young people going on tours, mission tours, and getting a glimpse of what life is like in other countries and watching them worship the Lord in another language and helping pray people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I had a young man, we were in Colombia, a young man came on a mission tour. He told me later, much later, amen, I knew that he wasn't, things were not quite right when he first came. He was from a city that was close to where I used to live, and I told him where I lived, and he said, I'm sorry. Amen. I'm sorry you live there. Amen. I told him what not to do, and that's exactly what he did the first night. That was the first night. Didn't realize how dangerous it was. And God was merciful and helped him. But you know, I watched him a little bit later as the Holy Ghost started moving. And I watched him as he got a hold of a little Colombian child and held that child and just wept and wept. What I didn't realize is he was holding the child, but he was praying for himself. He said, when I came there, he said, I was backslid. I was away from God. But when he left there, God had called him to the ministry. Amen. And today he's an evangelist in the United Pentecostal Church and preaches all over the country. Amen. Winning souls for Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, that's what God wants to do. That's the kind of vision that we need to have here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, I've never been out of Athens hardly. Well, buckle your seatbelt. Who knows where God's going to send you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know we got cities all around us that need churches? We need a church in Malakoff. We need a church in Frankston. Amen. We need churches everywhere around us. There's not a church. We need a church in Kaufman. Amen. We need churches all around us here. Amen. Why can't we build churches there? Why can't we win churches and win souls in those cities? Praise God. Do we have a vision tonight? God doesn't want everybody to go to heaven from Athens, Texas. Amen. Praise God. He wants folks from every city to be able to go to heaven. There are people in other cities that'll never come here. We got to go there. Can you see that? Can you see having services in other cities? Can you see going on a Saturday afternoon and handing out tracts and inviting people to some place and then bringing them all together and having church on a Saturday? Is that okay? Can people get saved on Saturday, Brother Fry? Could people get saved on a Friday night? Amen. Or does it have to be a Sunday? Amen. You see what I'm saying tonight? I'm talking about a vision tonight. Our revival is limited only by our vision. A little over 20 years ago, our general superintendent went to Austin, Texas and started a church in his house. Amen. And in about 20 years' time, that one church started 16 congregations all around that city. And that church today runs, I think, more than 500-600 people. Amen. Because somebody had a vision. Somebody had a vision. Amen. We've got to see beyond just what we have right now and let's see what God can do. Hallelujah. We have to be willing to let the Lord reach beyond these walls. Praise God. He can and He will. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, and we preached about it before, Ezekiel saw a vision from the Lord. You see, he saw what was in heaven, what God wanted to do on the earth. That's why prayer, intercessory prayer, is so vital. Because it's in that kind of prayer that God can show you what He wants to do through you. And so Ezekiel saw what God wanted to do. He saw a vision. First thing he saw in his vision is he saw the church or the temple. And in that church, he saw an altar. Hey, I'm glad we still have altars in our church. Praise God. I know sometimes you don't understand why I'm always trying to get people to the altar. Well, I'm getting ready to tell you why. This is not just for sinners. This is not just for people that need to pray through their sin. This is where people make consecrations. This is where heaven reveals its will on earth. This is where God finds hands and feet and mouths and hearts to do His will. That's what these altars are for. That's why when we give an altar call, everybody should come. Everybody should come. Everybody should find a place to pray. Everybody ought to be seeking the face of God. Everybody ought to respond to the word of the Lord. That's what altars are for. Ezekiel said, he said, I saw the church, and then he said, I saw the altar. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, water started flowing from out underneath that altar. And it flowed until it got to the door, and it flowed out of the door. And it flowed down the steps. And it flowed down the street. And it flowed eastward. And he said, I saw a man, and he had a measuring line in his hand. And he measured 1,000 cubits. And he asked me to come on over there. And I walked to where he was, and he said the water was to my ankles. And then he said he measured 1,000 feet. And he said I walked to where he was, and he said it was up to my knees. And he said he went 1,000 meters out there, 1,000 cubits. And I walked, and it was up to my waist. And he went 1,000. And he said, and I couldn't get to him because the water was so deep. It was water to swim in. And he said, the waters flowed through the desert, and all of a sudden trees began to spring up on its banks in the middle of the desert, and there were fish in that water. And he said, everything that the water touched, it made it alive. He said, there was healing in that water. Amen. What are you talking about, Brother Grissom? I'm talking about a revival that's born at an altar that flows out of the church and beyond its walls, and everywhere it touches, people are healed and people are made alive because the church has a vision and it sees the will of God in heaven and brings it down to earth. Amen. That's the kind of vision. He said, everywhere it touched, it healed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the kind of revival that we're talking about here tonight that God wants to send through this assembly. Amen. Something that reaches far beyond our walls. Far beyond our walls. Amen. We're doing a little bit of that tonight. Amen. We're reaching out to other nations through our missions giving. You know, missions giving is a serious thing. It's a serious thing. Amen. It's something that everybody should be involved in. If you can do $5, you ought to be doing $5. Amen. And if you can do 10, you ought to be doing 10. And if you can do 25, you ought to be doing 25. And if you can do 100, you ought to be doing 100. If you can be doing more, you ought to be doing more. Are we really serious about reaching the world with the gospel? Are we really serious about reaching the world with the gospel? Amen. You see, that's why we send missionaries. Right tonight, Brother and Sister Guidry, our resident missionaries, amen, they're in Bogota, Colombia. And oh, how I wish I could be with them. Amen. We lived there for a number of years, and my, what church we had. Amen. But they're there tonight, and every time I read that one of the things they're posting, they're all excited. Oh, they're having church tonight. People are getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. God's doing great things. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you tonight, you see, we reach out to other nations. We touch people. We won't see them till we get to heaven. But when we get to heaven, heaven's going to be populated with souls that are there because of our giving. We gave so someone else could go. Somebody said, we can't all give by going, but we can all go by giving. Amen. You put feet on your prayers for world missions when you give to missions. Amen. You put heart into it. You put a voice to it. You put a burden to it. You help another man whom God has called realize his calling. Missions giving is so vital. And God will always bless the church that has a vision outside of its walls. Amen. Home missions. To help start churches right here in North America. Amen. We can't put it all overseas. We gotta reach the unchurched right here in North America. Amen. Praise God. I'm just saying tonight, you know what? I believe the Bible says that God is able to cause all grace to abound toward us. What that means is if we will give, God will give us more to give. Did that go over your head? You know what most people's philosophy is? Well, if God will give it to me, I'll give it. How many people have I heard say, well, if I'm ever a millionaire, I'm really going to bless the church? Well, I've seen that happen. You know what? They didn't. They just backslid. That's all that happened. God knew what was in their heart. If you can't give it while you don't have much, you won't give it when you got a lot. Amen. It starts simply as a desire for revival. Amen. We've got to get this gospel out. We've got to get it out to the whole world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does it call for sacrifice? Yes, it calls for sacrifice. 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 But we are to sacrifice. Amen. If we're going to get this gospel out to the whole world. What is our vision tonight? Our revival is only limited by our vision. We are part of a worldwide revival because we're a missions church. Amen. Because we're sending out missions offerings monthly. Thank you that you're faithful in giving your missionary offering. Amen. You say, well, it's not much. Well, all God needs is just for you to participate. I'm sure that that little boy, when he took his lunch from his mama that morning, did not know what was going to happen that day. I'm sure that his mama did not pack a couple of fish and those biscuits, understanding that he was getting ready to go feed about 20,000 people with him. I'm sure that when she packed that lunch, it was for her little boy. And when her little boy took that lunch, I don't know where, you know how boys are. I don't know if he had his mind on going to the camp meeting where Jesus was preaching or not. He might have been going fishing, I don't know. He might have just decided, well, what's all these people, where are these people going? I think I'll just join them. You know how boys are. And I don't know how he wound up there. All I know is that when a man by the name of Andrew came by and said, what you got in the bag? He said, well, I got two sardines and five biscuits. And he said, well, come with me. Amen. And they took them to Jesus. And he said, here it is. This is what we got. He said, but what is this among so many? And the Lord didn't say, well, that's nothing. He just took it. And he said, well, that's fine. That's all we need. Amen. All I need is just something to work with. Amen. And he just took it, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and they broke it and blessed it, and gave it to others, and they broke it and blessed it. Amen. I don't know exactly how that miracle happened, but I really get excited when I think about it. Yeah, in Spanish he did, but I just messed up a little bit. So they went, and I don't know, can you just see that, how they just took the fish and the bread, broke a little piece off and gave it to somebody, and all of a sudden became a whopper in his hands. He said, man, I can't eat all this. And so he breaks some off and he gives it to his neighbor, and it grows in his hand, and all of a sudden people, fish and bread flying everywhere. Amen. People excited. No wonder they had food left over. They were so excited they could hardly eat. Amen. It was an exciting time. My. But it all started was somebody that just gave what little bit he had. Was just willing to share what little bit he had. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then God used it, multiplied it to bless thousands. There's a small church in Perth, New Brunswick, Canada. The pastor was William J. Rolston. They had about 75 people. In that church, there was a little boy by the name of Benny. Benny went one service to another church with that church, and he heard a missionary preach. He was 7 years old. He said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary. And people would ask him, Benny, what are you going to be? He said, I'm going to be a missionary. When he was 10 years old, he had a vision. He was standing on a log raft in a mighty wide river. And when he looked ahead, it was really unusual because he saw the river and it was as if a line were drawn down the middle. And on one side it was brown and on the other side it was black. And he saw that, and,
And oh, he was amazed. And he saw a dense jungle all around. And he saw a beautiful, beautiful place. 14 years later, when he was 24 years old, Benny the Merchant arrived in the country of Brazil. And he went to the Amazon River, and he was on a boat in the middle of the river, and right ahead of him, he saw where the Rio Negro joins with the Amazon. And the Rio Negro is black water, and the Amazon is brown water. And when they join together, it's as if somebody put a line right down the middle, and they don't mix together. And immediately his mind flashed back to when he was 10 years old, and God showed him a vision of where he was going to be. Don't tell children they can't be missionaries. Mamas and daddies, don't tell your kids they got to go to college and get a degree so they can be doctors and lawyers and make lots of money. Pray that they'll be missionaries. Pray that they'll be preachers. Brother Grissom, I don't want them to have the hardship. You'll be robbing them if you pray any other way. If God calls you to ministry, you'll be miserable doing anything else. No matter how successful you may be, you'll be a heavenly failure if you don't fulfill the will of God in your life. If God calls you, it's the greatest thing that there could ever be. Abraham Lincoln had it right. If somebody, some preacher came to him and said, "Mr. Lincoln, do you have room for me somewhere in your administrative cabinet?" And he looked at him and he said, "Sir," he said, "when God calls you to ministry, don't stoop to be a king. If God calls you to ministry, don't stoop to be a king." In other words, he was saying the highest calling on this planet is to be called of God and called into His service. There's nothing greater. Hardships? Oh yeah, there's hardships. Difficulties? Oh yeah, there'll be plenty of heartache. Amen. But if you don't follow the will of God, there'll be more. And that without remedy. Amen. Pray that God will call you to ministry. Pray that God will allow you to be to serve Him in some capacity. It's the greatest thing in the world. That's the greatest thing in the world. Amen. What can God do with a 10-year-old boy? Amen. Well, let me tell you what He can do. He started a mighty revival through one that was just selling hot tamales and just told somebody about his church and about his preacher and invited them to come, and they came and they started having revival. That was the Circus family. Amen. Last time I knew, more than 300 people had responded and come to revival just over a 10-year-old boy's testimony. You're not too young to work for God. If you're 8, if you're 7, if you're 10, if you're 12, if you're 15, if you're 18, amen, it's time to work for God. Give your life to a greater cause. I'm not against education. I believe you ought to get a good one and get over it. Amen. My daughter's made a lifetime thing out of it. Amen. But that's what the Lord told her to do. We didn't tell her to do that. She, in prayer, she heard from the Lord and He told her to do that. And she stayed with it. Amen. And she's almost there. But that's what God told her to do. You listen to what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. And then when He tells you what to do, pursue it with your whole heart. Amen. With everything you've got. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Benny the Merchant's been in the country of Brazil now, well, getting close, I guess, to 50 years. I don't know what the statistics are, but I know that they have more than 50 Bible colleges. They had none when he went there. They have more than 1,000 congregations. They have more than 70,000 constituents. I remember him telling a story. He said when he first got there, they would go by this massive football stadium. Now football there is soccer, you understand. That's the national religion of South America, is soccer. they're as nuts about that as we are about Cowboys and Rangers here. And so he would go by this massive stadium, and it would be filled with people shouting to their football gods and rejoicing and having a great time. And he would say, one of these days, he said, we're going to have the national convention in that stadium. And they'd go on to the little church that he was going to. But you know what? It wasn't too many years until they had their national convention in that stadium. And they've been having it there ever since. And they pack it to the gills. Amen. With Pentecostals shouting and worshiping God and bringing the power down. Amen. Miracles and signs and wonders and great things happening. I'm telling you, friend, what's our vision tonight? What's your vision? What's your vision for the church? What's your vision for your life? What can you see yourself doing? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God will help you to realize dreams if you'll dream. I said He'll help you. If you'll get God in your dreams, He'll help you to realize them. Amen. I was just a little 15-year-old boy when I got the Holy Ghost. And you don't know how nervous I used to be speaking in front of people. I just wouldn't do it. I literally remember standing behind the pulpit with my hands up here because my knees wouldn't hold me up. I was so scared. Amen. Brother Cody, you know what that feels like? Brother Cody did a great job Friday night. You should have heard it. Amen. Shame that you didn't get to. You'll get another chance. Next time, don't flunk it. Be here. So I'd be like this because my knees wouldn't hold me up. Amen. And just scared to death. Amen. And then Holy Ghost anointing would come. And after a while, I'd get bold, and get out of the pulpit, get right down in people's faces. Amen. It's amazing what the Holy Ghost will do. Amen. The songwriter said it'll take the chicken out of you. Amen. And it does. Praise the Lord. Amen. I never imagined I'd be the places I've been. And I've been privileged to preach in 17 nations in the world. I never thought I'd do that. Never dreamed that would happen. I never thought I'd get to be a missionary. I never thought I'd preach at a conference to 12,000-15,000 people. I never thought I'd get to do that. I never thought I'd get to go and do the things that I've been able to do. And all to the glory of God. I don't say that tonight in any way boasting. I'm just telling you tonight, when you dream with God and you get a vision, it's amazing what God will do with your life. Amen. But you gotta get a vision tonight. Our revival is only limited by our vision. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your kind attention tonight. And thank you for staying with me through this lengthy message. Amen. But I'm just saying to us tonight, what is your vision? What is your vision? What can you see God doing? Can you see yourself involved? Isaiah had a vision.